Welcome to Global Ed Tour.
Pack your earbuds and come on a tour of educational perspectives around the globe. We are your hosts, Sandra Chow
and Chris Lee.
Privyet, Sandra Chow.
Privyet, Chris Lee.
And a privyet to our three guests on today's episode of Global Ed Tour. Today, we have the pleasure of learning more about Russia, the Russian education system, with the help of Yulia, Larissa, and Tatiana. So a huge thank you for joining us today. Yulia, why don't we start with you? Can you share a little bit about yourself and how you ended up becoming an educator?
Okay. I think I'm a very happy person because during my life, I worked with creative people and with people who loved their job very much. I graduated pedagogical college, then university, then many, many other courses. And I work as a teacher during more than 20 years. So I love my students. I love my lessons. And I love teachers all around the world. So that I try to communicate with them.
How about yourself, Tatiana? How about your story about a little bit about yourself and how you ended up becoming an educator?
Okay, so I have been working as a teacher for about 10 years. And, you know, when I was a child, I imagined that I'm a teacher and I taught my toys. So, and one day my dream has become true. And now I'm working in one of the school of my town with my great colleagues. I love them. They are just excellent people. Oh, can you hear me?
Was there a favorite toy or that you were pretending to teach to? Because I had my favorite like panda bear, like stuffed animal that I did when I was a kid.
Of course you did, Chris.
It was a real class. Of course, there were about 12 toys as far as I remember.
That's awesome. The fact that you remember it's also 12 toys, like, it's probably a pretty good memory. And Larissa, we would love to hear about you and your story and how you became an educator.
I'm sorry for my voice. Today. I'm a little bit sick. I've been teaching for more than 30 years already.
Wow.
And it was my dream. And now I'm already getting ready for being a retired teacher. But still, I'm still interested in teaching and the new methods. It was a great experience when I was in Canada. I enjoyed it greatly.
Yeah, and Larissa, you're talking about the C Summit that we visited,
yeah.
Smart Exemplary Educator. How did you end up in that summit?
In 2011, I started using SMART. There was a competition here in Russia. And then I used to be an exemplary teacher. And during this contest on this program, Golden Star, I was invited to participate in the summit. And so since then, I've been using SMART and all my colleagues, they use SMART and we continue our work.
So when you went to Canada, was there something that you noticed that was different in terms of schooling in Russia or even the things that you talked about in Russia that was different from some of the other educators from around the world?
Teachers are the same all over the world, I should say. All of them are involved in teaching. All of them are interested in how to make their classes better, how to engage our students, how to make them learn, how to make them collaborate. And so that was the common feature for all the teachers. What is different? Maybe we have some different approaches to teaching. Of course, they are, but in general, all the teachers are the same.
There you have it. We're done, right, Chris? Our podcast. Words of the wise from a teacher who's been teaching for 30 years.
Hey, that sounds pretty good to me. To let you, at least that tells me that I'm doing something right. So that's good. For all of our listeners, and including myself, because I have very little understanding or knowledge about the Russian education system, I was wondering, Yulia, can you give us a quick overview? What is the day in the life of a typical student of Russia? What does that look like? Can you take us through what that looks like?
Okay, I work at school, so let's look through a day of school boy or school girl. We have very difficult school program, so that our school day starts at 8 o'clock in the morning. And as usual, students have 6 or 7 lessons a day. And after that, they have different lessons from extracurricular. As for our school, we have 2 buildings, small young schoolers, boys and girls study at one build and one house, and older students have lessons in another one. So that in my school house, we have very, very busy day, because lessons, different extracurricular activities, different competitions, Olympiads, conference. Usually students can go home somewhere about 3 or 4 afternoon. And at home, they must do a huge homework. But our school is a little bit unusual. Not all schools have the same day. Sometimes people have 2 parts of classes. One class can study from morning till afternoon, and other classes start their school day in the afternoon till evening. If we speak about schools in Russia, they have very different activities inside. We have 3 education parts at school. Firstly, compulsory for children between ages of 6 till 15. Primary school for children from ages 6 till 10. Then senior school for children from ages 10, 15. And then high school. Mm. Of course, in high school, students more busy than in primary school.
That's the same with us. China too.
Of course.
Some commonalities, good to know.
A normally class consists of 20, 30 students, many students in each class, but for English or for some specific lessons, we have smaller groups. For example, for English lessons, I have somewhere from 10 till 15 students only in class.
Wow, that's really nice to see that. Okay.
Yeah, that's interesting, because we actually read about student sizes in Russia as we were doing research about education in Russia. And we read that Russia has one of the lowest ratio of students to teachers at 11 to 1. So hearing that 20 to 30 actually seems a lot higher than the 11 to 1. So was there somewhere else besides English or maybe in other parts of the country where the ratio does decrease a little bit?
So in our primary school, students are taught by one teacher, and there are about 25-30 students in the class. And this teacher teaches them a lot of subjects as math, Russian, literature, and so on.
Ah. And they have them all day?
Yeah.
How about then moving into a high school then?
Mm. So in the secondary school, the students are taught by different teachers. Math teacher, English teacher, chemistry teacher, and so on.
Mm. Okay, so it's very similar.
Sandra, can I have some more ideas about your previous question? I think you have such information because very different areas in Russia. And if we speak about city schools, there are many students in class. But if we speak about school somewhere in the village, it might be less than 11 students for one teacher. So if we put them together, so maybe we have such ratio.
Are there a lot of village schools?
Yes, yes. Many villages, especially if you speak about my territory in Siberia, many villages and not many children. So as a result, a school has not many children, but they must be educated. Mm. So they have a teacher.
Mm. It sounds amazing that you're in Siberia because we always talk about...
It's very cold here.
It always seems like such a faraway place, but now that we're talking to you, it seems like such a close place, tangible place. Do people actually choose to teach in the various villages or are they teachers who live in that area?
Yes, they usually live in the village.
Ah, so they would be teachers who maybe... took university to become a teacher and then chose to go to those villages?
It depends on teachers, it depends on people. I think some teachers, I know some teachers who are volunteers and they go to villages, live there for 3-5 years. This year, I have such suggestion. But I think I'm too old to have such experiment.
What? Well,
no, it's a joke, of course. But some young teachers work as a volunteers and they go to different villages, work there for 3-5 years, then turn home. Maybe some of them continue living there. It depends on people.
Mm.
We have some privileges for such teachers.
Oh, yeah, that's what I was going to ask. What kind of privileges?
Money, house. I don't know exactly what else, but some very serious moments, very serious points for people.
Mm. But would teachers still want to be in the city in general?
Yeah, of course. Of course, many people want to live in a city, especially mega city, of course. Mm. But some young people, and we have different charity organizations who try to find such people, give them some money to start their life in a village, especially if we speak about different village in territory in Siberia, where not many people live.
That's similar to Canada too. I guess Canada, we're very north and we have a lot of northern cities where there is actually sometimes no jobs in the city as well. And so younger teachers would find jobs by going to more northern parts. So I can see some similarities there.
Larissa, you said that you've seen education in Russia for the over 30 years. Which is phenomenal. I hope to be in the field for that long as well. I would love to know, what are some of the big key highlights of Russian education or revolutionary that you can share with us?
The greatest changes which occur in some last years, maybe it's national state exams. So it's about 10 years now when we take these national state exams in all the subjects. Two of them are obligatory, like Russian and math. and all the rest the students choose according to their desire and what university they are planning to enter. And so the whole our work in the 10th and in the 11th grade is centered around the national state exam. This is the greatest changes which occurred the last year.
Is that something that is seen as positive change or negative change in the country?
It's difficult to evaluate. Of course, there are some advantages, and of course, there are some drawbacks. I can't say it's good or it's bad.
Mm-hmm. And is that from the primary school all the way up to high school and every grade?
So they take the national state exams in the 11th grade, where they graduate from school. School leavers already. These national state exams are at the same time their exams to enter the universities. They do not take any other exams.
Is it common for all students to take the exams? What if they don't take the exams? What would be their pathway after?
Yes. It's common for all the students.
So if they don't pass an exam, is there another pathway that they can go?
Next year, try to take it again.
Got it. And Yulia, you've been teaching for how long?
Too long, I think.
No, she's young now.
What would you say is something exciting happening in Russian education right now?
As you know, I like different digital methods. And of course, all of us are seas. And this is a result of our hobby. And as for me, the new program in which all students in Russian school must be digital citizens in the end. And we are building digital school. This new project is very amazing for me because I like new technology. I like different interactive boards, different new ideas. And of course, I like that students try to develop their skills in the digital world. They training in data analysis, in programming, and something like this. And as a result, they will be able to create digital projects for their future profession in engineering, in medicine, in art, in general, everywhere. And I like this changing very much.
That's why we're friends.
Yes, I was going to say, you two have a shared common digital bloodline. As we're coming to the close of our podcast episode, Sandra and I always want to travel to the places that we are talking about. So I think we'll start with you, Tanya, or Tatiana, as we have debated before. What's one thing we must know about Russia or Russians or the education system, or where's one place we have to visit when we show up?
So welcome to Russia. We are very hospitable. Mm-hmm. So, and we will be glad to see you. So come to our city. It's the capital of Don Cossacks. I don't know if you've heard about them. So, and I think that you will get a great experience here, and of course we will be just happy to meet you here and to show our region, our town, and introduce our educational system. But of course the centers of our country are Moscow and St. Petersburg. They are very beautiful cities, and if you want to get some new experience, I think you should visit these cities.
Mm, definitely on my bucket list.
And Yulia, what's as Sandra knows, I'm going to ask this question. It's not scripted either. What is a food? What's something I have to eat or try to eat when I come to Russia?
Well, firstly, I want to invite you to our deep Siberian forest. There is no internet, there is no phone communication. So you can hear different birds. And of course, you can taste some berries because there is no such berries in other place everywhere. Only one place in the world where you can find such mushrooms, such berries, and so on. And I want to present you one more interesting fact about Russia. Because mostly foreigners don't know this fact, but there are more than 200 different nationalities in Russia, and each of them has their traditions, their language, and so on. And Russian language is a language for communication between different peoples. So if you want to visit Russia, you will visit many, many different countries, many, many different traditions you can see, many, many different food you can try. But visit only one country.
That sounds really lovely and magical.
You didn't answer the question about food.
I
invite you to visit our Russia, and you can try different food from Asian to European, from Siberian to I don't know what kind else. But if you want to, as usual, traditionally we speak about Russian food, such borscht and pelmeni, but if to try to study history, I can say that it's not some Russian, because if you speak about pelmeni, we have one more nationality inside Russia, and it is their traditional food. So many interesting facts, really.
We're excited. We definitely want to come, and I'll make sure to bring a really, really warm jacket.
Yeah, definitely.
But if you come to our region in summer, it's very warm here, even hot. So you don't need to take warm jackets, trousers, and so on.
Sounds good. Well, thank you so much for your time today. We really appreciate you taking the time to just share about your schools, about your life, and about your culture. And we're glad that we had just even a glimpse of what schooling and education is like in Russia. And we hope that we might have another opportunity actually to see it in person. So thank you so much for taking that time. And Larissa, I hope that your voice feels better.
I hope.
Have a wonderful day. Thank you so much, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All Global Ed Tour episodes are edited using Soundtrap. Start collaborating anywhere at soundtrap.com/edu.
And thanks to anchor.fm for making it so easy and free to host and distribute our podcast.
Global Ed Tour is proud to be a part of the Voice Ed Radio family. Your voice right here. For other great podcasts, check out voiceed.ca.
And thank you to Goodnight Sunrise for letting us use their song, This Is Yours, for our intro and outro music, available wherever you download or stream your music.
You can find us on Twitter at Global Ed Tour or on the web at bit.ly/globaledtour.
And finally, thank you to you, our listeners.
Okay. But I don't know how to say that.
Privyet.
Oh, privyet.
Wait, is that right? Tatiana, did I get that right? Is it privyet?
Yeah, privyet.
Okay, because Yulia was making fun of me just now.